breakfast on the seashore with Jesus. We'd always enjoyed breakfast before the day got busy with the crowd's demands and questions. That last time, after we'd been fishing all night and caught nothing, and then he'd shouted to us from the shore at daybreak to put our nets down, and they'd filled with fish. That last time when we had fish, he had fish cooking on the charcoal and fresh bread. That was a great breakfast. After that breakfast, Jesus had a long talk with Peter. I don't know if Peter realized then that he would end up being a leader in the early church, that people would gossip about his lack of education and remember that he had denied Jesus in the temple yard, that people would be critical of his behavior and beliefs. Whatever Jesus said to Peter, and Peter told us a bit about their conversation afterwards, it was enough to convince Peter that Jesus still loved him and believed in him and had a job for him to do. Jesus also dealt with the rumor going the rounds about one of us not dying until he comes again. He said rumors about what's going to happen to other people should not be our concern. Our task is to tell other people about Jesus, about his life and his love. And so this is the end of John's book. He tried to write down for you everything he knew about Jesus. There are lots of other things Jesus did. If they were all written down one by one, John didn't suppose the whole world would be able to hold all the books that would be written about him. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all this morning, and a very special welcome to little Jamie as he's sitting there at the front as he gets ready along with his family to be welcomed into our church family later on in the service. A warm welcome to all of you that are here with him this morning. The order of service has most of the intimations that you need for the coming week. Just want to point out one or two. Messy church on Thursday afternoon at 3:30. We gather at 3:30, but don't really get going properly until about 4 o'clock. So if you do want to come along and 3:30 is just a little bit tight for time, just feel free to wander in when you can. We begin with some crafts and games and stories, and we finish with some food, and everyone is always welcome to that. I mentioned last week that Jam wouldn't be coming in at the beginning of the service for the next few weeks because we have some baptisms each Sunday, and taking them in and then putting them out and then bringing them back in was reducing the time that they had together to do anything. So Jam are already getting going through in the North Hall, and if there are any other little ones who want to join them, they'd be made very, very welcome. And we also have the creche area through in the hall, but there's no pressure. You're very welcome to stay in the church as well. We have the orchestra with us this morning, and I'm always sorry not to remember to say thank you to you all for helping lead us every the first Sunday of every month. It's always a lovely treat to have you with us, so thank you for being here today. As most of you may be aware, there were some sad news during the week in that Walter Scott passed away in the early hours of Thursday morning. If you hadn't heard that, I'm sorry if I'm the one that's bearing that news, but his family have asked that I let you know that there'll be a service here in the church at 11:30 this coming Thursday to mark his passing and to celebrate his life. He was part of the history of this church in so many ways, and I know they'd be very pleased to see as many of you as possible join them on Thursday at 11:30. I will leave you to read everything else that's there. The call to worship this morning has a little response, and it really is for you to join in with the words, "Follow me." I will read a sentence that ends with the phrase Jesus said, and if you just respond with the words, "Follow me." To the tax collectors, Jesus said, "Follow me." To the disciples, Jesus said, "Follow me." To the rich man, Jesus said, "Follow me." To the fisherman, Jesus said, "Follow me." To Peter, Jesus said, "Follow me." To each of us, Jesus says, "Follow me." Let's stand and sing our hymn 172 in your hymn book. Sing for God's glory, the colours, the dawn of creation. Thank you. turn now to God in prayer. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Lord, it is not a question of our love for you. We might say that loving you goes without saying, yet it does need to be said. Not just with words or sentimental feeling alone, but with actions of love. Actions that speak of our devotion to you. Merciful God, we are sorry for the times when our devotion falls short of the level you seek from us, when we stubbornly refuse to conform to the ways of the kingdom and instead become too readily influenced by the ways of the world. We are sorry for ignoring the opportunity to help others, even when a person in need crosses our path. We are sorry for hiding our faith, for those times when we do not take the opportunity to let others know who or what inspires us to seek to be good people. We are sorry for our failure to be God-led, instead choosing to let our ambitions and objectives rule our lives. Holy God, in your mercy, you have already declared that you love us. There is no favoritism in this, for you love all people. Thank you for such a love and for the forgiveness you offer, a mercy which encourages us to seek new starts whenever we stray from your path. And Lord, hear us as we join our voices together in Jesus' prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I offer this little reflection. He did not deny that he'd gone back to simplicity, doing what he knew before his life had become complicated, had been overturned by the call to follow. He did not deny that it had been thrilling, inspiring, dangerous, terrifying. He did not deny, wouldn't be that rat deserting a sinking ship. But he had denied. There was an arrest, an execution, a resurrection too. But then what? He did not deny that he had gone back, picked up his net, filled with regrets and might have beens, and gone fishing to forget. And then the one he had denied showed up, fresh fried fish on the beach. He did not deny that it had been delicious but awkward, the food easier to swallow than having to talk of love and loyalty, the messiness of feelings, the embarrassment of failing. Three times the challenge to love, and in the end the grace of forgiveness, a renewed call to follow. Ah, yes, he did not deny that. Let's stand and sing again. This time our hymn is 425. The Saviour died but rose again.
Our first reading this morning comes from John chapter 18 and can be found on page 142 of the Good News Bible, reading from verse 25. John chapter 18, verse 25. Peter was still standing there, keeping himself warm. So the other said to him, "Aren't you also one of the disciples of that man?" But Peter denied it. "No, I am not," he said. One of the high priest's slaves, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, spoke up. "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" he asked. Again Peter said, "No," and at once a cock crowed. And we now turn to John chapter 21 and reading from verse 15, and this can be found on page 147 of the Good News Bible, John chapter 21 at verse 15. After they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than any of these others do?" "Yes, Lord," he answered, "you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my lambs." A second time Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he answered, "you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." A third time Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" So he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep. I am telling you the truth. When you were young, you used to get ready and go anywhere you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will bind you and take you where you don't want to go." In saying this, Jesus was indicating the way in which Peter would die and bring glory to God. Then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned round and saw behind him that other disciple whom Jesus loved, the one who had leaned close to Jesus at the meal and had asked, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he asked Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus answered him, "If I want him to live until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." So a report spread among the followers of Jesus that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He said, "If I want him to live until I come, what is that to you?" He is a disciple who spoke of these things, the one who also wrote them down. And we know that what he said is true. Now, there are many other things that Jesus did. If they were all written down one by one, I suppose that the whole world could not hold the books that would be written. Thanks be to God for these readings.
Thank you, John, for reading to us. We sing again. This time our hymn is 718. "We cannot measure how you heal." I'm 718.
Thank you.
this morning from John, two bookends of texts featuring Peter, his triple denial and his encounter with Jesus on the beach, where Jesus asks three times if he loves him. These final verses of John's Gospel are a treat. We looked at the opening verses of chapter 21 last week and thought about the abundance of God's love, love that was poured out in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This last chapter seems a little odd in it that it comes after an explanation as to the purpose of the Gospel of John at the end of chapter 20. It's like it's an add-on that the writer who claims authorship and recognition as the disciple Jesus loved wasn't quite finished. He needed to add on this last wee bit just to make sure we got it. And so we have the breakfast on the beach and we have the meeting between Peter and Jesus. Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" This to Peter, once Simon, who has left his nets to follow him. Simon, a fisherman from Capernaum, where he lived with his wife, mother-in-law, and his brother Andrew. Andrew and Peter had their own boat and were the business partners of James and John. And they all left their boats and nets when they encountered Jesus. They become his first disciples, and from the outset, Jesus picks Simon out. In chapter 1 of John's Gospel, we read that Jesus looked at him and said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas." This is the same as Peter and means a rock. Peter, impulsive and impetuous, acting without thinking. Peter, who jumped out of a boat and walked on water until, of course, he realized what he was doing. Peter, who didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. Peter, who rushed forward and cut the ear off the soldier in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, who denied being a disciple of Jesus. Peter, who in our reading last week jumped into the lake to get to the shore to get to Jesus. Peter, given the keys of the kingdom. Peter, loved and trusted by Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Except Jesus has reverted to his birth name of Simon. Simon, son of John, do you love me? An echo to a day 3 years previous, huddled around a fire. Not once in that question, but asked three times. Echoes of that night. Stood around a charcoal fire. Aren't you one of the disciples of that man? No, I'm not. Aren't you also one of the disciples of that man? No, I am not. Didn't I see you with him in the garden? No. And the cock crowed. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others? Ouch. What was this encounter on the beach about? Back where it all began, more echoes. Was it about reconciliation? Did Jesus want Peter to know all was forgiven? You might think so, given Peter's denial. But at no point does Jesus say to him, "I forgive you," or words to that effect. For Jesus, Peter has done nothing to require forgiveness. If Peter needs forgiveness from anyone, it's himself. So if not forgiveness, then what is this encounter about? Theologian Caroline Lewis suggests that this encounter is about who Jesus needs Peter to be and getting Peter to accept this. Caroline points us back to the questions posed by those in the yard that night. Aren't you also one of the disciples of that man? In John's Gospel, Peter's response is not to deny knowing Jesus, but to deny being a disciple of Jesus. An emphatic, "I am not." Caroline explains, as a result, the conversation between Jesus and Peter should take on a completely different meaning. Jesus does not blame or shame Peter. Jesus does not ask for Peter's repentance. Jesus does not ask three times, "Peter, do you love me?" to remind Peter of his threefold denial, to test him or to trap him. If any of that is true, that's not the Jesus I know, I love, or in whom I believe. Instead, as I've written before, she goes on, Jesus reaffirms who Peter needs to be, the disciple Jesus needs him to be, and the disciple Jesus needs Peter to be is the shepherd now. Take care of my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Take care of my sheep. This is not about forgiveness. This is about recommissioning. This is about what Jesus wanted from Peter now. This is about the future, the work that has to be done. I want us to all take a minute and to try and put ourselves in Peter's shoes or sandals even. You know the life that you have lived. You know the times that you've gotten things wrong. You know the times your words or actions have answered the question, aren't you also one of the disciples of that man? With an emphatic, I am not. We are none of us perfect. I've recently discovered the singer George Ezra, and on his latest album is a song entitled Only a Human. The song reminds us that we can run, we can jump, but that we can also, insert a sweary word there, it up. But not to blame ourselves, we are only human. And this is something we all need reminded of from time to time. Despite our best intentions, we will get things wrong. We are only human. We will fail. We are Peter. Peter was only human. And standing in his sandals, imagine that you are face to face with Jesus and he's asking you, do you love me more than these others do? Do you love me? Do you love me? What Jesus wants in that moment is for you to look him in the eyes and utter the word, yes. And you are free to utter that response without any clarifications. No need to rattle out a bunch of excuses for past behavior. No need to beg forgiveness. No need to look away ashamed. All Jesus wants in that moment is for you to say yes. And then take care of my lambs. Take care of my sheep. This is about the future, not the past. The past is taken care of. It was taken care of on a cross on Calvary. We live our lives in its shadow, forgiven and restored. And we are now invited to engage in the work of faith, of discipleship. On that beach in Galilee, Jesus stood with Peter, stood with us, and commissioned us to be his disciples. David Lowes, another contemporary theologian that I have quoted recently, offers this little thought. I think there is an important connection between this scene and our life of faith. We are commissioned at baptism to share in the work and ministry of our Lord. And yet we often fall short, failing to give witness in word or deed to our faith in the living Lord. And yet Jesus doesn't just commission us. Jesus also forgives us when we fall short. And Jesus doesn't just forgive us, but calls us to try again. And Jesus doesn't just call us to try again. Jesus also invites us to share what we have and give us meaningful work to do. This is the story of Peter, called to follow, falling short, forgiven, and repeat. The gospel readings this morning are a reminder that Jesus picked out his 36 disciples to be his closest confidants and helpers. And they were far from perfect, and yet he chose them. Now, I can't remember if I've shared this with you before, or you may have heard it somewhere else from somebody else, but I offer this little thought. If a management consultant existed in ancient Israel, This is perhaps the advice they might have given Jesus in choosing a leader from among his disciples. It's a memo to Jesus of Nazareth from the Jerusalem Management Consulting Firm. Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you've picked out for management positions in your new organization. All of them have now taken a series of tests, and we've not only run the results through our computer, but we've also conducted an in-depth interview with each of them by our staff psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. The profiles of all the tests are included, and you will want to study each of them carefully. It is the staff's opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept, and we would highly recommend that you continue your search for persons with more experience, higher qualifications, and greater managerial abilities. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and is given to fits of temper. Andrew simply has no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interest above company loyalty and are quite boisterous. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale among the troops. It's also our duty to inform you from the Better Business Bureau of Greater Jerusalem that they've received reports on Matthew regarding questionable business practices. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings, and both demonstrate attitude problems which would present difficulty in their dealing with the public. However, one of your candidates shows great potential. He is a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, responsible, and is not afraid to take the initiative. We recommend Judas Iscariot as the most qualified of all your prospective candidates. And yet, it is Peter that stands on that beach that morning and is given the task of feeding the lambs and sheep. Peter, you, me, the person sat next to you. How we do this is for each of us to think about. How do we connect what we do each week in church with our lives outside these walls? Each of us has the potential to impact on those we meet day by day. Each of us has the potential to engage with the world and make a difference. It won't always be easy. We will fail. We will get things wrong. We will disappoint. We will let people down. We may even fall away. But if we do, then today's gospel is a reminder that Jesus is waiting for us on that beach, ready to ask again, "Do you love me?" No condemnation, no questions asked. And it is here that we have the opportunity week by week to meet with Jesus, to recenter ourselves ready for that week ahead, the work ahead. Here is the place where we can gather for nourishment and encouragement, to be reminded that Jesus has not given up on us. Jesus shows up on that beach, hosts a meal one more time, tells Peter, tells us, "I believe in you. I know who you are and I love you. And yes, you are exactly the disciple I need, the disciple the world needs." Amen. We continue to worship God, this time in our offering.
Thank you.
Let us pray. What a blessing it is to give and receive, to share and support the work of God through the church and in the world. Let love, justice, and compassion continue to be observable in our lives. And we dedicate these our gifts to the work of the church in the world. Amen. Oh, here they go. Good morning. How are you today? Are you fine? Your ears on? Oh, the little pudsy girl ears.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Right, I've got a question. Have any of you got pets?
Yes.
Yes, what have you got?
A dog.
You've got a dog. I've met your dog. It's lovely. And you've got a
cat.
And I've met your cat as well. Now, if you are getting a cat, what kind of things, if you were preparing to get a new cat or a new dog, or maybe you remember when you were getting ready to get your dog, what were the kinds of things you had to get ready? Can you remember the things you had to get in advance? You couldn't just bring the dog home and not have anything for it, could you?
I have no idea because I wasn't even alive.
Oh, you weren't even born when your cat came to live with your house. Oh, that's okay. But I'm guessing when your mummy and daddy got your cat, then they might have gone to the shops to get a few things. Do you think?
Oh.
Right, what kind of things do you think they maybe went to get?
Litter tray.
A litter tray, yes. That's a good start, yeah.
Food.
Hmm?
Cat food.
Cat food. You mean cat food a bit like this?
Cat
food. Yeah, cat food like this. And maybe cat food that comes in little sachets like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
she doesn't really have that one. Well, my cat really doesn't like the dry biscuits either, but she gets them left out in case she gets a little bit peckish. Anyway, so we need cat food. What are we going to put the cat food in, though?
Cat bowl.
A cat bowl? So we need a bowl.
And I also bought a dinner mat.
Hmm?
I also bought a mat that said dinner.
A mat for it all to sit on. Oh, very nice. My cat doesn't have a mat for her cat dish to sit on. Anyway. So we've got a bowl and we've got cat food. What other kinds of things do you think you might want to get the cat? Do you think it needs some treats now and again? Does your cat get any treats now and again?
Yeah, just gets normal food.
Just gets normal food? No treats? No treats? Well, see, my cat gets treats. Treats. Just now and again, every day, just now and again. So treats. Whoop. And
cat bed.
See, my cat doesn't need a cat bed because it's got my bed. She's got this big ginormous bed during the day and she's got a lovely sofa at night because I don't let her share the bed at night. Too many mornings I've been woken up at 3 o'clock with a wee paw going, and then if you don't respond the claws come out. Yeah, so no, she gets to sleep downstairs and has the whole lounge and kitchen and dining area all to herself.
She just gets
a small cat bed. She's got a small cat bed, has she? Well, no, my God. Anyway, but I do now and again give her some toys.
My cat didn't play with toys.
Your dog's... Oh, I feel really sorry for Sarah. Am I allowed to feel sorry for Sarah's cat? No treats and no toys.
What? She's not a toy
cat. Oh, that's okay. Right. Anyway, so my cat's got some toys that she gets to play with now and again. The only problem with having cat toys lying around is when you've got dogs as well. The cat toys don't really last very long. No. Anyway, so when we've got animals to look after, we need things to look after them with. We don't just...
I used to have bunnies.
You used to have bunnies as well? Oh, I heard a surprise. It's Rona in church today. Rona's got a bunny, and Rona got a real surprise with her bunny because she thought she had one bunny, but her bunny actually had four little bunnies inside it. Anyway, but when we get pets, we need to be able to look after them. So we need to get ready and get organized to look after them. Now, in our Bible reading today, we heard Jesus speaking to a man called Peter, one of his disciples. And in it, he said, "You are to feed my lambs and feed my sheep." That's a funny kind of expression to use. But when he was actually talking about lambs and sheep, he wasn't really talking about fluffy little lambs and big stubborn yows. He was talking about people, us, because we are his lambs and his sheep. We're the young ones that are just learning about him, whether that's where we're small or whether we're a larger person, still learning about Jesus. And the sheep, the followers. And because back in ancient Israel, in fact, in many parts of the world now, whilst our farmers push the sheep from behind and send the dogs out and herd them from behind, in ancient Israel, shepherds led their sheep and sheep followed their shepherd. So it's quite a different thing for us to think about. So when Jesus is talking about us being his lambs and his sheep, and we are to follow him, that's exactly what a shepherd would have done. Anyway, so we're going to think seriously about how we look after our animals, treats, toys, okay? And we're going to think about how we treat each other and how we look after each other as the lambs and sheep that follow Jesus. Anyway, we're going to sing again, and we are singing this time hymn 533. Which is, Will You Come and Follow Me? Together we gather round this font to baptise Jamie Andrew William McFarlane. Rona and Andrew have brought their little one here to be welcomed into the family of God. For me, this is very exciting. It always is when we welcome little ones into God's family. In this sacrament, we create a link with tradition. In a moment, we will pray together, and then I'll have some questions for Andrew and Rona, and I'll have a question for all of us. The answer to all questions is, we do. From the start of Christian community centuries ago, people have been received into the church through baptism. Baptism is a sign that God loves each of us individually. It shows and tells us that God's love encompasses and embraces us all, and that God's grace works in and through our lives. The water we use in baptism is a seal of God's grace and reminds us of Jesus Christ, who himself was baptized, was buried and raised so that we might know life in all its fullness. The water is sprinkled, poured out like God's Spirit on us and for us, and we are reminded and assured that we are all God's children, that our future lies with God, and that the church, the family of God, is where we will be helped and equipped to serve God in the world. Jamie is our special responsibility as parents, family and friends. We gather representing the church in its biggest sense of being. Whether or not we believe in God, God believes in us. And so I hope that all will feel welcome to be part of the promises taken. Let's hear God's word and the story of Jesus' own baptism is found in Matthew's Gospel, reading from the Message. Jesus then appeared, arriving at the river Jordan from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him. John objected, "I am the one who needs to be baptized, not you." But Jesus insisted, "Do it. God's work, putting things right all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism." So John did it. The moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice, "This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." Can I invite Rona and Jamie and Cara and Godmother to come and join me beside the font? Right, Cara, you going to come and stand here beside me so you can help me? Right, you stand there just for a wee minute and then I'll get you to help me in a second. Okay. Rona and Andrew, in bringing Jamie for baptism, do you confess your faith in God, the loving Creator, in Jesus Christ, in and through whom we are promised life, and in the Holy Spirit, our helper and guide?
I do.
Do you promise, with God's help, to continue to provide a loving home for Jamie and to bring him up in the faith of the gospel and, as far as you are able, in the fellowship of the church?
I do.
And do you promise to support Andrew and Rona in the promises that they have just taken?
I will.
And Cara, your turn. Do you promise to help Mummy and Daddy by being a good big sister to Jamie?
Yeah.
Good answer. And to everyone else, do you promise to support Rona and Andrew as they bring up Jamie and in keeping the promises that they have just made? Right, Cara, this is where I'm going to get you to help. Maybe Daddy will help you as well. But I'm going to read a little verse. Oh, it's quite heavy, so maybe we'll need to help. Right. And as I read each verse, if you pour a little bit of water in.
Right, okay.
Yeah, you want to help? Yeah, that's what to do. Yeah. There we go. Right, Daddy will give you a hand. That's it. Okay. Holy Spirit, you moved over the waters in the dawn of creation. Bless this water as we baptize Jamie today. Jesus Christ, our Master and our friend, calling us to follow, bless this water as we baptize Jamie into your church. God, our Maker, thank you for the gift of life and the chance to grow in love. Bless this water as we baptize Jamie into your family. Super. This is where I need to take little Jamie. Hello, little man. Oh, look at you. Oh, there we go. You're covering up my microphone. Oh, Jamie, before the world knew anything about you. Oh, Jamie, can I get this back? Thank you. Well, maybe. Oh, wait a minute. We're done. I'll get it pinned back on. There we go, we'll try again. Jamie, before the world knew anything about you, before your mummy and daddy held you in their arms or first made you smile, God loved you. Before you made your first sounds, God looked forward to what you had to say. For all your life, God's love and Christ's need will be mirrored in the eyes of the people you meet and the lives that you touch. Today we reach out and hand you what has been yours from the beginning, Jamie. God's love is yours. Baptism is just our way of celebrating what is already is. Jamie, Andrew, William McFarlane, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May God's love and peace be with you now and dwell in your heart forever. Sorry. The Lord bless you and keep you. We'll sing "The Lord Bless You and Keep You," and I'll take Jamie around and introduce him to everyone here. Hey, we're going to go for a walk. That'll be all right. This way. Oh, we can get say hello to the choir. Hey, there we go. You're lovely. Hey. He's enjoying his moment, aren't you? He's saying hello to everyone. Then better go back down. Hello. He's lovely. Right, we'll back up here. We've got a prayer to say. I'll just hang on to him. Let us pray. God of love, we rejoice again to receive your grace in word and sacrament. We've heard your call and are made new by your Spirit. Guide and guard Jamie all his days. May your love hold him, your truth guide him, your joy delight him. Bless his parents, Andrew and Rona, his big sister, Cara, that he might grow up in a secure and happy home. Give to their family wisdom and courage, laughter and peace, and a love that endures all things. God of grace, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, help us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to profess with our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in his name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns and is worshipped and glorified with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. Now, I think we've got a little present for you. The girls are going to come forward and give you a Bible for you to keep, Jamie, to remember this day by in years to come, and a little certificate inside to mark the day as well. Jamie, this is your home. Come whenever you can. A welcome is here for you forever. Amen. Before we sing out our last hymn, I've just one little bit of news that I'd forgotten to give you earlier on. Many of you will remember last year Connor, who joined a church along with Adam. And then you may have wondered where he disappeared off to. Well, Connor has been away discerning a call to ministry. And I'm really pleased to tell you that this last week he heard news that he's been accepted to train as a minister of Word and Sacrament. I was speaking to him this week and he was really excited. And I thought I'd let you know that news, and he knows that I'm passing that on to you. Just something I forgot to mention earlier on. But hopefully we'll get to see more of him over the next wee while before he starts his training. Anyway, let's stand and sing together our closing hymn, 681, Send Out the Gospel.
Thank you.
As the resurrected Jesus reinstates Peter into community and gives him purpose, we too share a purpose to follow Jesus' ways, to create a community here which gives a welcome. Go now with the creation belonging and sharing a purpose which forgives, includes, and loves without condition. Go now with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with you now and always. Thank you.